All right, if you have your Bible with you, please turn it to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Let's read that together out loud. Ready? "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Father, we want to thank you for this time and bless the word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've read this verse hundreds of times. I've read it in the King James even, where it says, "I reckon." Right? "I reckon." Now, there's other, the word is logizomai. It's the same word used for reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. It's the same word. Here it's translated in the New King James a little bit differently. But it doesn't mean like, you know, slim pickings, "I reckon," you know, like "I suppose," or "I guess," or I kind of assume." It's a much stronger word than that. And here's what it means. It means, "I have carefully considered as a mathematical calculation, a shrewd observation, and a proper deduction." That's Kenneth Wiest. A mathematical calculation, a shrewd observation, and a proper deduction. So a thoughtful estimate. Another scholar said, a thoughtful estimate with a firm conclusion. It's a strong word. Paul is saying, "I have thought carefully about this and considered it and have observed through experience and have concluded that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us." It's a very, very strong word, suffering. I want to talk about that for a little bit. There are a couple kinds of suffering. There's the suffering that the whole of mankind experiences. All right? The suffering that the whole of mankind experiences, like the verse in Matthew 5:45, "The rain falls on the just and the unjust," right? It falls on the just. It falls on the unjust. Everybody understand that? So the saved get food poisoning, the unsaved get food poisoning, right? The believer gets in car accidents, the unbeliever gets in car accidents. The stock market affects the believer, it affects the unbeliever. People have arguments in all worlds. It's like suffering is universal to everyone in the sense that man has born for trouble. Job 5:7, and sparks fly upward. Man is born for trouble and sparks fly upward. I was talking to a dear friend of mine this week, and I said, you know, I said, our first parents, Adam and Eve, decided to make their life decisions independent of God. And as a result, all of our children have inherited the same stubbornness. All of their children have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have inherited a level of suffering that is the result of our own independent decisions from God. Now, that isn't the food poisoning. That's not the car accident. That's a different kind of suffering. There's a suffering that mankind has brought upon himself. There is a suffering that we bring into our own marriages. There's a suffering we bring into our families. There's a suffering we bring into the workplace. There's a suffering that we bring into many, many aspects of life because we often make decisions independently of God, and we create our own burden. That's the second kind of suffering. There's a third kind of suffering, and it's reserved for the saint. And Paul talks about this a little bit, and I believe that's what he's talking about here. I believe he's talking about The suffering that God allows to mature the believer. The suffering that God allows to develop the saint. To develop our character. To develop our perseverance. To develop the way we think. To create a capacity for compassion that would be absent otherwise. There are many reasons God allows suffering for the saint, the suffering saint. And in the more mature stages of a Christian's life, there will be things that they will suffer that they didn't suffer in the earlier stages of their Christianity. There will be relationship suffering that they didn't suffer in early stages. There'll be other things that God allows them to deal with that they didn't have to deal with in their early Christianity. Dealing with loneliness, dealing with betrayal, dealing with those kinds of things. So Paul is saying here that I have carefully thought about this as a mathematical conclusion and have made the proper deduction and have a firm conviction that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy, are not even in the same league as the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, there's a fourth kind, or another source of suffering, and it's man's attempt to seek glory. The glory of the world. Paul Tripp discussed this. I was listening to Dr. Lewis talk about this last night. There is a glory to the world. There is a glory of nature. The Grand Canyon, the mountains, Otter Lake. By the way, the DiMatteos are gone as well. I want to pray for them too. The Finger Lakes region, our life, our country, our world, the way it looks, the ocean, the sky at night. When you're sitting outside at your fire pit and you look up and you see the glory of the heavens. And the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. You know, you see that. And that's a very specific verse talking about the message of God in the stars, which we've talked about before. But there's also the glory of the beauty of a woman or the beauty of a man, or there's the glory of great food or the glory of taste and smell, the glory of a beautiful vehicle or the glory of a great home or the glory that we have from our accomplishments, the human glory. But see, all those glories are meant to point us to God. They're all meant to reveal a higher glory. And what mankind does is man fixates on the lower glory. We fixate on the lower glory, and we find that in the pursuit of the lower glory, listen carefully, in pursuit of the lower glory, we are left wanting. Because we don't allow the lower glory to point us to the higher glory of God. You understand that? So someone sees, like my friend John Doyle, who passed this past year, he'd say he would see a beautiful woman, And rather than lust after this woman, he would say, God, you created this beautiful creature. You created her. She is yours. I don't have a right to consume that on myself. I don't have an iota of a right to take that for me. That glory is for you. Now, I'm using that as a specific example because many people consume certain types of beauty and glory for themselves instead of allowing that to point them to the glory of God. See? So we go, and it's nothing wrong with fishing or hunting or any of that stuff. We go out there, and if we just say, hey, this is wonderful, and we shoot our deers, and we catch our fish, and we do all that, and I love that. I've never shot a deer in my life. I'd love to. I've caught a couple of fish about this big. Like my friend Chris always exaggerates when he goes fishing. You ever, anybody like know anybody like that? Do you know anyone like that? Sure you do, yeah. Always exaggerate when it comes. Chris would come home and say, I got one like this. I was with him. It was like this. He'd tell his wife it was like this. So one day he came to the house. I tied his hands together. He went to his wife and says, Kim, the eye, like that. But see, if we just consume that glory for ourselves, and we don't allow that time to bring us closer to God, to enjoy God in those times, then we miss the glory of God, and that lower glory doesn't do anything for us. And I believe God gave us all these lower glories to enjoy, but their enjoyment is limited, and we have to recognize there's a limited amount of enjoyment in pursuing those glories. And the great enjoyment of the lower glory is recognizing that they are gifts from God. And that's why James says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, the Father of glory, in whom is no variableness or shadow of turning or wearing down or wearing out like these other natural human glories. How many follow this so far? So much of human suffering is the result of unrestrained pursuit of the lower glories of life. That makes sense? Much suffering, much disappointment, much discouragement. Oh, if I get that, I'll be happy. And then they make all kinds of sacrifices. I know an individual. He wanted to build his little empire. And he began to build it. And at first, he glorified God. But then he began to really pursue this empire for himself and began to use people and step on people. Eventually, he began to take things out on his wife. She ended up having an affair. And then he had an affair. And then the family collapsed. And his whole world came tumbling down, and he blamed everyone around him, when in reality, the suffering was created by his pursuit of a lower glory. How many understand that this morning? So this is a very important message today. Because that may not be, you may not have that kind of dramatic pursuit in mind. We may have lower pursuits of glory in mind. But please remember this. While there's nothing wrong with enjoying the lower glory, we have to remember that it is God who gave us that glory, and we must live our lives biblically in light of that. And this is the mark of maturity. The mark of maturity in a believer is someone who is capable of enjoying the lower glories without getting caught up in them. I can go to a nice meal, the cafe, and enjoy that and not get caught up in an addiction to food. I can go to on vacation, and when it's time to come back, I come back, I'm refreshed, I'm ready to do what God wants me to do. I don't have this depression when I return from vacation because, oh no, I have to go back to the grind and all that. No, I recognize that God gave me that as a reprieve, but then he can give me something else to deal with my day-to-day life. I don't have to run from the details of my life. God has given me what I need to address those details, right? I can do all things through what? Christ who strengthens me. But if I'm, my focus and fixation, I'm going to use the word fixation, is on the lower glories, I will find myself caught in disappointment when I face the responsibilities in my life. And I will have difficulty creating patterns of discipline because I am fantasizing about a lower glory. I remember we had a beautiful day one summer, probably, I don't know, the kids, this maybe 10 years ago, Karen, you may remember this. We went to Seabreeze, took the kids to Seabreeze. And I think that was, to me, one of the most fun, memorable, enjoyable days as a family. We went on rides. We did the lazy river. We ate bad food. It was magnificent. And I came home that night, and I laid in bed, and I was so happy to be with my family. I had a great time with my wife. had a beautiful time with my kids. We laughed. We held hands. We walked. It was so much fun. Came home in bed. I began to weep thinking of what a beautiful day it was. And the next day I got up and I said, I have to make that happen again somehow. So I thought about it and I planned and I schemed. And I said, not only are we going to do that, we're going to do a bigger one. We're going to go back to Massachusetts and go to where I worked as a kid at Riverside Park, which is now Six Flags. And we're going to go there and we're going to have a day of all days. And I remember we got in the car. We planned our little trip. Went to see my mom. Drove out to the park, you know, got to the gate. I was all excited. My kids were excited. We're all excited. And we got in there, and it was crowded, and the atmosphere was bad, and there were, like, little gangs all over the place, and some of the rides were broken, and the food was three times as expensive as we thought it would be, and it was wicked hot. And I remember by 3-4 hours, I'm like, this is horrible. And my heart sank. And I remember thinking to myself, at that moment, God said, only I can create what you experienced at Seabreeze. You can't do that. As hard as you try, you'll never be able to match what I can give you. There's a lesson I learned, and I'm repeating that as a story to you. That may seem like a meaningless event to you, but I learned something from God from that. And those are important things to learn from God. That only God can create certain joy, because to God, and let me just say it, and this is not a cliche, to God be the glory. Now, when I say that today, to God be the glory, that means I recognize that the greatest enjoyments of life come from God. And He may use the lower glories to bless me. But when I try to use those lower glories to bless me, it doesn't work. Hello? How many understand what I'm getting at today? And much of my personal sufferings will come from my pursuit of the lower glories. I don't want you to think that you can't have fun. I don't want you to think that you shouldn't go on vacation. I remember I had a pastor friend who, I don't go on vacation. Vacations are for people that want to go sublimate and blah, 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 blah. So you know what I did? We went on vacation. You know, it's like, and then for a while, but for a while we didn't. We thought, yeah, that's, you have to be backslidden to do that or whatever. I don't even know if we even rationally thought of it. But I was affected by that. Then I realized something. That if God wanted to give me something to enjoy, He could do it any way He wants. And you can't stop it. World. Right? God can bless me any way He wants to. We had a friend of mine. Many of you may have known him. I know you do. I know Jason did. Our friend Steve Wills. He came to church here for a while. Kathy, you remember Steve, right? Came to church for a while. Him and his wife, Deb. And he had real compassion for pastors. He did. He was always asking me how I was doing. He'd stop in every couple days and check on me. And I remember one day he said, do you like fishing? I said, I do. I'm terrible at it, but I'll go. And he said, I'll show you. So he had a bass boat. And this great little bass boat. I love Steve's bass boat. It was just so much fun. We did a couple things with it. And as the men got out on it once with another boat, we got our lines all tangled. Do you remember that? Yeah. But anyway, we went on this bed. I remember coming home that day and I said, hey, hon, I think I want to get a boat. And she said, you better pray about that. Well, she basically shot me down. And I don't recommend women do that to their husbands. But what my wife does is she says, let's pause and pray. It's like a hard no, but it's a pause and pray. So we paused, and I prayed. And then Steve shows up the next day, and he drops a canoe in my yard. He says, God wanted me to give this to you, this canoe.
And I said, hallelujah.
She says, there's your boat. But you know, if I had pursued the boat and pushed it, she wouldn't have stopped me. And I would have got the boat. And then you know what? You pursue these things you think you want, and when you get them, they get you. I got the boat, and the boat would have broken down, and the boat would have had issues, and I'd have been pulled over for the wrong registration, the light out, and the trailer. All that stuff that goes along with that, that would have been my life after that. God spared me from that kind of thing by giving me this canoe. However, now I recently found out I have a trolling motor that has clamps on it, and I can put that in the canoe, which I have in the past with Steve, and a brand new battery. And I told someone about it, and he said, yeah, you know, you're going to have to register now because it's got a motor. I'm like, what? So I have to talk to one of you guys about that after church. So in pursuit of the lower glories of life, we tend to get ourselves in trouble. 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4:15, 16, 17, and 18. Now, I always look at this like, okay, for all things are for your sake, having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Now, those all things for your sake means all things, good and bad. The enjoyments of the lower glories and the suffering. All those things, as Romans says, work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose and conform us to the image of his Son. But here it says something a little different. All things are for your sake. All things are for your sake. That means the blessings are for my sake and the difficulties are for my sake. And God allowing me to deal with the consequences of my ill pursuits of the lower glories, all for my sake. Having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound. So after you go through that thing, like I did with the amusement parks, I finish that day, and I go back to that first day again, and I say, thank you, God, for dropping that day in my life. And I have such a greater appreciation now for what God can do. Therefore, do not lose heart. 16. Even though the outward man is perishing, and boy is he, and she is too, by the way, the inner man is being renewed day by day. How is the inner man renewed? The inner man is renewed through the Word of God, and through our focus on the highest glory of God. The recognition of God being the giver of life, the recognition of every good and perfect gift coming from his hand, his fatherly care for us. Our light affliction is but for a moment. Aren't you glad about that? It's working a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. A weight of what? Glory. The glory of God is the person of Christ. That's how it's described. The glory of God is the reflection of who he is, and Jesus reflected all that God is. So when it's working in us an exceeding weight of eternal glory, it's making us Christ-like. And bringing us to a place of the highest pleasures and highest enjoyments we could ever know. Realize this, that heaven and our eternal place with God is a place of constant, this is going to sound weird, constant, eternal pleasure. But when we think of pleasure, we think of the lower glory. See, we limit what pleasure really is. It's this incredible abiding happiness. This incredible abiding carefree thought process. Imagine being eternally free from negativity. Imagine being eternally free from NYSEG or bad phone signals. All those frustrations. I remember, you know, we get these phones, right? People are so weird with the phones now. They got to have the newest phone. You know, many people, and I don't think a lot of you are like that, but I know some people, they got to have the, you know, that new phone comes out. And, you know, it is the marketing. It really is. Because you can't live without it. You can't live without this phone. I need a bigger screen. Well, it's because you're going blind. But, you know, people buy these things, and have you realized how... Huh? Can I ask you a question? How many of you are periodically frustrated with technology? Let me pursue something that's going to frustrate the bejeevers out of me. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and think of the one thing that frustrates me the most and go pursue it. That's what this is like. It's the insanity of the lower glory pursuits. You know? Now, if I have something like that I use for the glory of God, and you know, you call your friends with it, and then the thing doesn't work, once I just put it aside, bring it to Paul. Paul, fix this. That's what I do. It's like, just look at this. I don't even want to deal with this. Look at it. Ugh. And he gives you back. Oh, it's working again. Okay, go on with your life. But to be free eternally from those kinds of frustrations, because the lower glories are now gone, in a sense. So I think that when the Word of God says that at his right hand are pleasures forevermore, that means that when we in this life learn to pursue the glory of God, we find amazing pleasure. When we pursue world missions, when we pursue giving, when we pursue service to our spouse. Let me say that again. When we pursue service to our spouse. So, what'd I say? To who? Well, they don't deserve it. Well, you don't deserve anything either. Yeah, let me just remind all of you that we all deserve to burn in hell. So before you start saying, well, I'm not going to bless that person because they don't deserve it, and I'm mad at them, you better readjust your attitude, because you are stuck in the lower glory. And that's a bad place to be. You're going to be eternally disappointed. Well, not eternally. You're going to be temporarily disappointed while you're in this life if that's how you feel about everybody around you. Okay? This light affliction is but for a moment. It works a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why? While we do not look at the things which are seen. You know, you have to kind of look at them a little bit, like especially when you're driving. Right? You have to look at the things unseen. What's Paul saying? While we do not focus on them. While we do not fixate on them. But we ought to be fixating on the things that are not seen. Everything else should be in the peripheral. not the other way around. Not a focus on what I want and God is in the peripheral. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, God will be right with you. You know, no, it's God is the focus. It's set your affections on things above, like it says in Colossians. That ought to be the fixation. A fixation to worship Him. Lord, I would love to stay and worship You, but I got to go to work. Lord, I would love to stay here and pray, but I have to go eat. Well, maybe I can wait a little while. Fixating on Him and on His glory instead of on these earthly things. Because they're temporary, and the things which are seen are not temporary, but things that are not seen are eternal. So if I fixate on the things that are seen, which are temporary, I will live my life in a constant state of disappointment and frustration. Right? And that is the majority of the American experience of suffering. We don't suffer persecution. We suffer something far different. We suffer the poison of our ill pursuits. We suffer the poison of a pursuit for the lower glories. We suffer the poison and the sickness of disappointment and discouragement from our fixation on earthly seen pleasures. And the law of reducing returns, or whatever that's called, diminishing returns, is in effect. The first time I experience that, it's fantastic. So I pursue it again, it's not so much. Then I pursue it again, it's not so much. So I keep pursuing it and pursuing it and pursuing it, and I'm on this constant treadmill, which is why there are food addictions and drug addictions and medicine addictions and porn addictions and all these addictions coming from people who the father of lies has told that this is the only place you'll find that kind of pleasure. When God is saying, listen, it's at my right hand. Do you want the real stuff or do you want that? Do you want the real glory or do you just want to pursue what you see with your eyes and smell with your nose and taste with your mouth and feel with your hands and hear with your ears? We can enjoy those things in God's boundaries and seek His glory through them. But when we fix on them for ourselves in selfishness, we'll find discouragement and discontentment is our experience. Father, we ask You to bless Your church. Help us to experience a freedom, a clarifying purpose, and a purifying hope in seeking You first, the kingdom of God, and all the other things, clothing and food, shelter, all those things will be added unto us. But first, we seek You. First, we go after You. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.